I'm encouraging you once again to use the devotion books that will be beneficial for you. We have books that are for the students and adults, and also the books for the children. And if you have children in your home that are sixth grade or under, invite you to pick one of those up and help them learn to put in place the habit of reading and spending time with the Lord on a daily basis. Now, if you just leave things alone, they have a tendency to go from bad to worse. We used to play golf at the Orchard Hills Golf Club from time to time. And by the way, anytime I talk about me playing golf, it makes me want to just kind of get sick really bad. Because I've told some of you, I've told you, if you were here on those occasions, I've told you my nightmare golf story. I'm not going to tell it again. But it's still, I wake up during the night reliving it. Oh, terrible, terrible thing. But anyway, I got to where I'd only play with my sons. And so we used to play at the Orchard Hills Golf Club, and it closed down 6 months ago. This is what it used to look like, and here's another picture of what it looks like now. Fairways are gone, the greens are gone, it's just all grown up, and it's not good. Now, it only took about 6 months for that to take place. Folks, it doesn't take long if you neglect taking care of yourself spiritually. It doesn't take long for the weeds and the junk to grow up. Had a lady left the first service this morning. She said, "I'm cold spiritually." It can happen to you. You need to, first of all, make sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then, on a daily basis, spend time with God. And we're going to be talking over the next 10 weeks about habits you need to put in place for that purpose. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8. Turn there with me, Romans 8, 26 through 30. And then this evening, we're going to be looking at Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. And again, my desire is that you would say, "I want to grow spiritually. I need to dig in to God's Word and to God's truth." So you stand with me now as we read from Romans 8, beginning with verse 26. And there's one really major statement that he makes here that I want to give emphasis to. Romans 8, starting with verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." God's working in you, and his desire is to make you like his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called, he also called. Whom he called, those he justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified." Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, let me just go ahead and kick this in. I'll say it several other times. If you have already been born again, then your spiritual growth has nothing to do with your salvation. You're already saved. That's a done deal. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if you've recognized that Jesus became sin for you, that's why he died on the cross, and he was raised again on the third day, defeating sin and death, then you're saved. What we're talking about today is spiritual growth. If you do not grow spiritually, then you're going the other way. People don't stay the same. You're either growing more like Christ, or you're becoming less like Christ and more like the world. Now, this past Tuesday, you knew I'd have to insert this somewhere, I ran with 60,000 of my closest, dearest friends the Peachtree Road Race, and I beat 52,000 of them, by the way. most people say, "I finished. I finished. I beat my kids." I don't say that rejoicingly, because here's why I beat them. When we started together, and I knew that Chris and Josh were behind me laughing and talking and planning when they were going to pass me. And I went for 3.5 miles, and I kept running, and I averaged for 3.5 miles, I averaged 7.2 miles an hour, because I just knew they were right behind me, and they were saying, he's going to slow down in a minute, and when he does, we're going to pass him. And so I kept running. We got to, now I don't know if you've ever looked at the elevations of Peachtree Road Race. It starts out, you're going downhill. And then the last 3 miles is the opposite. You're going uphill. So I knew they're waiting for me to slow down and hit that wall. And man, I hit it. I started walking, and I think they're going to pass me any minute. They're going to go around me, laughing at me, making fun of me. And that's what kept me going. So I can thank my kids for pushing me to stay under an hour, because I just knew they were back there somewhere and just waiting to pass me. But it didn't happen. But I did pass Pastor Paul. Just thought I would insert that for you. I did pass Pastor Paul. And then he quoted number 7 of the 7 decisions, and that is persist with perseverance. And so we made it anyway. But praise the Lord, it's a blessing. But here's the one I'll insert all that. I have been running for 40 years. I didn't get up on July the 3rd and say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to go run 6.2 miles and I'm going to do it in under an hour. I've been doing this for 40 years. Sheila and I remember I did it sometimes running in the snow in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm making this point. You need to put daily habits in place that will have a cumulative effect over time. And spiritual habits will be far better for you. The Bible says this. The Bible says that spiritual habits will have a far greater effect and impact on life, yours and other people's lives, than physical exercise. Paul drives that point home. He makes it very clear that physical exercise is good for a little while, but the main thing is spiritual habits and putting those spiritual habits in place. Everybody, eyes on me. If you fail to do this, if you're saved, you will not lose your salvation, but you will lose your testimony, and you will lose the blessed walk of walking with Christ. You will make shipwreck of your faith on a daily basis. You won't lose your salvation if you've already got it, but you will certainly lose the joy of your salvation. Now, God has done this great work in us, and we got to deal with this question, and that is the issue of what we shall become. See, we need to understand what is it that we shall become, because in the passage we read a moment ago in Romans 8:29, he said that he is working in us to make us like his son. He wants us to be like Jesus. And I remember Major Ian Thomas, when he used to come here, he would say, Jesus was man as God intended man to be. So to be like Jesus is to be man as God intended man to be. And the more like Jesus you become, the more you get to enjoy life. The world looks at us and says, man, y'all aren't enjoying life. I told you the story about the guy calling me about Medicare a couple of weeks ago. And he said, you're on Medicare now. How's it going with you? I said, yeah, it's going great. He said, well, when do you plan to retire? I said, I don't plan to retire. And then his next question was, when are you going to start enjoying life? I said, man, I'm already enjoying life. You don't have to retire to enjoy life. You don't have to quit your job to enjoy life. I'm convinced that if you love the Lord and you're being conformed to the likeness of Christ, you can enjoy everything about life. You don't have to wait for another time. But what we are going to become, we need to understand that God's going to do this. If you're saved, ultimately, you will be like Christ. Ultimately, not here. But we're becoming like him. So what are we becoming? What we are in John 1, 12 and 13, great statement. This is you if you're saved. But as many as received him, that is, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, if you have come to know Christ, then you are a child of God. You don't have to say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. It makes no difference. If you have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, his death on the cross, and the fact that he was raised again, the Bible says you're a child of God. You are a child of God. I am a child of God. Do I always act like it? No, but that does not change it. I am a child of God by the work that He's done. So that's what we are. What we will be is found in 1 John 3:2. It's in your notes. Beloved, now we are children of God. We just went through that. We are children of God through Christ. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Pause right there. He's talking about what we are right now, child of God. But in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know what I'll be, but I know that whatever I am when I get there, I will be a child of God. But then he goes on with the last part here. He says, but we know that when he is revealed, that is Jesus, we shall be what? We shall be like him. What we are right now is children of God. What we're going to be over the next 20 years, I don't know, but I know that I'll continue to be a child of God. And I know that when this world is over and I'm with Christ, I will be like him. That's what God's going to accomplish. Now, he is at work in us to accomplish this, and he changes us through relationships. Proverbs 27, 17 says that God works in us through other relationships, relationships with family, friends, church members, as iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. He also works in us, changing us through circumstances of our life and situations. And Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, I don't like everything that happens in my life. I don't like everything that comes my way. But here's the big deal here. It doesn't really, you can write this down. I've said it hundreds of times through the years. It doesn't really matter what happens to you. What really matters is how you respond to it. Now, being a believer in God through Christ Jesus, I believe that anything God allows to come into my life, he is going to use it for good. That doesn't mean I have to like it. It doesn't mean I have to appreciate it. In fact, I've told God plenty of times, I don't like things he's done. I don't appreciate things he allowed to happen in my life. But bottom line is I trust him, and my part is to continue going on and believing him and trusting him in the midst of that. So God is at work in our life through other people, through situations and circumstances, and then we need to realize that, yes, what we are, what we will be, and what we're becoming, but then we need to ask the question, what are we to pursue? I'm a believer in Christ, and I know, I'm assuming that most of you are. So the question is, what am I to be pursuing in my life? Is it wealth? Is it fame? Is it fortune? Well, Scripture makes it very clear that we are to be pursuing holiness. Holiness. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about if you, and listen very carefully, if you are truly born again. Listen. If you are truly born again, you desire to be like Christ. That's enough right there. Did you hear it? I want to say it again, and then I'll explain more. If you are truly born again, your heart's desire is to be like Christ. Now, the problem with this is when we lose our focus, or we get caught up in other sin and other junk in our lives, or we get distracted, all of a sudden we're pursuing other things. But bottom line is we're saying, you know, I can't seem to get there. This Christian thing doesn't seem to work. But you see, your heart's desire is, I want to be like Christ, but it doesn't seem to be working out. Well, it's because it'd be like you're married to one person, but you're running around with 15 different ones, and you can't say, oh, I can't seem to figure out why my relationship with my wife is not working out. It's because you're distracted. Makes sense? And if you say, well, the Lord God is my life and everything else, but you've got 15 other gods, no wonder you can't get there and find contentment in your walk with Christ. Because you've cluttered it up with so much other stuff. You see, to pursue holiness is to say, God, I want you to make me like Christ. You see, holiness there, that word is our word, where we get our word sanctified. It means to be transformed, to be changed. To me, it's a better word, if we could, it's not a word, holified. Holified. That means God is working in us to make us holy, and we're participating. We're saying, I want to be like Christ. Now, would you look at me for a minute? Listen, do you want to be like Christ? Do you want to be like Christ? You see, if you want to be like Christ, then pursue Him. Pursue Him. You see, there's a tremendous inconsistency here. Well, preacher, I want to be like Christ, but I want to be like this person, this person, this person. I want to be like people at work. I want to be like, no, you got to carve all that out. I think I included this in the devotions this week, that the girl was asked how she became a great concert violinist, and she says, plan neglect. And that simply meant I plan to neglect anything and everything that doesn't have to do with playing the violin. You see, we need to carve everything out and say, God, I want to be like Christ, and know that He's going to put all those other things there where they need to be. So how is it that I'm to pursue holiness? It's that nasty word. You know it. For a lot of people, it's a four-letter word, although it has more than four letters in it. Discipline! Oh, preacher, my goodness, discipline. Oh, shoot. Let's be spiritual. Okay, that's what I'm trying to deal with. It's being spiritual. We think spirituality comes by sitting in church with our fingers together and we're, oh, no. Being spiritual is to pursue Christ. How do you pursue Christ? You put spiritual habits in place. How do you pursue your marriage? You know, you put habits in place in which you communicate and you share together and you spend time together. Sheila and I have been married for almost 43 years, and we enjoy being together. I could sing that song to her. I just want to be where you are, living daily in your presence. But you see, we need to have that same type, even greater affection for Christ. I want to be where you are. And how's that going to happen? Spiritual disciplines. In 1 Timothy 4:7, you'll hear this a lot in the weeks to come. This is from the New American Standard because it's got a phrase in it that I like. It says, the last part of it, on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Some translations say exercise yourself unto godliness. Any way you look at it, it means work. Now, salvation is not work. It wasn't for you and me, but it was work for Jesus. It's not work for us because it's already done. I am a child of God. I am becoming a child of God. Ultimately, I will be like Christ. I'm not worried about that. But I need to be putting certain things in place on a daily basis. I get up early in the morning to spend time with God. Here's how I do it. I get up somewhere between 5 and 6. And for the first hour and a half of the day, I will read. And if you want to know what to read, go to harpscrossing.com, and there's a place down here, read through the Bible in less than a year, and click on it, and you'll see the 5-chapter layout day by day in which you'll go through it in those 5 different chapters in different parts of the Bible. And so that's what I do. I've been doing it since January. And then I pray. And I write things down that I have learned in my reading. And then I pray. And I pray for you. We haven't divided up the stack of cards that came in last week, because some more will come in today, about people making commitment to their church. But back in 3 months ago, we did that. I'm committing to go through the devotion guide. And each one of us have got about 90 of those sheets, each one of the pastors. And I pray for you. If you turned in one of those yellow sheets back 3 months ago, I pray for you. Now, what I've done is, if a man turned it in and he's married, I added his wife. If a woman turned it in and she has a husband, she's married, I add the husband. If they got children, I add the children. So I got lots of names there now. So I pray for them every day, every day, every day. Well, why do you do that? Because to me, it's important. Because I want to see revival and truly God blessing your home and blessing our families and marriages and all that stuff. That's the desire of my heart, is to see God's will and God's best in your life. And then I've added the young couples that I've talked about, the young families. I've got a list of those, and there's about 40 of those now, 40 families. And then I've added a whole bunch of our young married, young single adults. I'm praying for them, that if it's God's will that they would be married. I'm seeing you back there, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for a mate for you, if that is God's will for you to be married one day, and that you'll have a godly husband, a godly wife, a godly family. I mean, I am persisting in this because one of the greatest needs in our country right now is for families and marriages and homes and the church to be alive. So the first hour and a half of the day, I do that. Now, it's not always easy to get up and do that. In fact, Woody Ushery helped me this morning. He texted me at 4:22, and he asked me a question. And so I answered the question, and then he asked me another question. Then I had to go look at my computer, and I said, well, I'm up now. And thanks, Woody, I appreciate it, for getting me going a little early. So I had extra time this morning to dig through and read and study and pray. And then I went and ran 3.5 miles. So it was wonderful to get started. But you see, a lot of people say, I don't have time to do that. Folks, you've got the time. But here's the deal. You know what our biggest problem is? You know what this stuff's called? What is it called? Flesh. It is flesh. And Paul on one occasion says, I beat my body to make it my what? To make it my what? Slave. He says, I'm going to be in charge of my body and my flesh. It's not going to be the other way around. My body's not going to be in control of me because I'm not my body. I am more than my body, and I'm going to tell my body what we're going to do. Remember the guy was talking about planning? Who plans your day? You or your body? You see, we wake up in the morning, you say, I really want to get up and read because I want to be conformed more like Christ, but no, I want to sleep a little longer. Guess who made that plan? Your flesh, not you. You may have agreed with it, but your flesh made that choice and decision. So we need to decide who's going to be in charge of our life. Is it me who has been born again and I want to be like Christ? Therefore, I'm going to put spiritual disciplines in place. I had somebody ask me yesterday, tell me the books you're going to read on vacation. And so I gave them a list of about 8 books. Some I've already read, but some I will be reading. And all these habits that need to be put in place. Look at them. Here's the list of the habits that we're going to be going through. Habits regarding the Bible. We'll do this for the next 2 Sundays. If you're doing your devotions, you'll start tomorrow on that. And for the next 5 days, you'll be looking at habits regarding the Bible. Then we'll go through habit of prayer and how to pray on a regular basis. Then after that, we'll be talking about the habit of worship. Worship. Hey, let me tell you something. You worship something or somebody. No, not me. I'm not a religious person. I'll say it again. You worship something or somebody. And you may not be a religious person in that sense of the word, but I tell you, there's something you have committed your life to that owns you. It may be a habit, a bad one. It may be eating. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be work. But I can pretty much assure you, everybody in here has a God that they worship by devoting themselves and their time and effort and energy to it. Fellowship, the habit of learning. Now, that's what I was talking about a minute ago. I love to read. I love to learn. I love to grow. I love to increase my brain capacity by reading and closing it up and then thinking about it and talking to other people about it and being stimulated by the learning. The habit of stewardship, the habits of evangelism, journaling, and fasting. And all of this is to be disciplined on purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose of godliness. Exercise yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's what he said over there in the passage of Scripture in Hebrews. Exercise yourself unto godliness. What's the problem? You know what I think the main problem is? A disease. It's the disease of laziness. You figured it out, didn't you? Anybody have laziness? It's another way of pronouncing is laziness. The problem of laziness or laziness. It's where we get sat down or laid down and we don't want to get up and move. We don't want to get up and read. I am thankful for some of the older men in the church and some of them who've already passed away. And they gave me a major key to staying alive and healthy. They would say to me, keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. You've seen the commercial, hadn't you? A body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest tends to what? Stay at rest. Move, read, study, put the habits in place, get the Bible out, read it, Listen to me. The guy did the thing at the very first of the service. I don't know if you were in here to see the pre-service video. Sometimes you read and you close it up and you say, no, I don't remember anything I read. Keep reading. Don't quit. Through the years, I've talked to husbands about loving their wife as Christ loved the church. And then I've explained what that meant. Funny thing about it is, I come back in 2 weeks, say it didn't work. What do you mean it didn't work? I tried it for 2 weeks, it didn't work. This isn't an experiment. This is life. You do it. Reading the Bible is, let me try it for a couple of weeks and see if it works. No. Do it. Read it. Study it. And I promise you, you will after time, perhaps even after years, all of a sudden you'll start, man, this makes sense. It's all coming together. The Bible interprets itself all over the place. And one of the greatest, most joyous things you can do is read the Bible consistently. Listen, don't make it a 2-week experiment. If you are a child of God, read it daily. Daily. Not if it's convenient, not if you feel like it, not if you decide you want to do this more than something else, just Nike. Just do it. Just do it. Okay. Whew. I feel better. Do you? I want to see revival. I've told you before, I've had people come up to me and tell me, we need a revival. And my answer was, I'm having one. You see, we think a revival is you got to have some meetings and get together and have a preacher come in, have somebody come in and sing. Revival is something that happens inside of you if you really, really, really want it and you're willing to pay the price of seeking the Lord and getting to know Him, and you will have revival. You will have it if you really want it, and God will give it to us. But it's going to start with you putting spiritual habits in place. If you wonder why you're cold spiritually, it could be that you're not walking with Him and quoting His name and the truth about Jesus all the time. We need to be in His presence all the time. So you say, oh, preach, that's not realistic. I want to tell you something. The opposite is not realistic for me. I need Jesus all the time. And you may not know this yet, but so do you. I pray you'll discover it before it's too late. Stand with me, please. We're going to enter into a time of prayer, a time of invitation. Pastor Paul and I will be down here at the front. Is God leading you today? Inside of your bulletin is this yellow card. If you're a member of Harps Crossing Baptist Church, the top part's for you. That you're saying, hey, I'm committing myself afresh and anew to my church and being what God wants me to be. The last part down there under the oar is if you say, I need to make Harps Crossing Baptist Church my church home, and then you see the possibilities there. If you're coming to say, I want to make this my church home, bring it to either Pastor Paul or myself so that we might talk with you, pray with you, and present you to the church. All else, just bring it, lay it right here on the altar. But please, right now, find a place to pray. You can come get on your knees at the altar. You can sit, stand, whatever is appropriate for you. But I'm asking you to pray for revival. Pray for revival in your home, in your life. Pray for revival inside of you, in your church, in your neighborhood. Pray for revival in the president, in the Congress, the Senate. Pray for a great spiritual awakening to sweep the land. All right, go find your place of prayer. If you're watching by way of live stream, I plead with you, join us in prayer. We need a spiritual awakening. We need a revival. I want revival in me all the time. I'm not going to settle for anything less. I want there to be a burning joy and excitement that's inside of me continuously, and I'm going to do everything I can to feed it from the Word and from the truth of God. Would you join us in that?